people see you through us. They hear you. And they want to come to you. Father, prepare your church. I pray for the students at K. Bless them as they finish off the year with their exams. Also, I pray for next year, Lord God. What do we do next? Would you stir it in their hearts, Lord God? Speak to them, because they're the missionaries in those hallways. We love you, Jesus, and in your name, amen. Thanks, you guys. I do have a bit of a message this morning that I want to pass on to you. We've been hearing a lot of stories lately. Last week, we heard some personal testimonies of those who got, Brian got baptized and became members, and those who were just sharing their stories as a refresher for us. And today, we had a chance to hear from a few different people. It makes me excited when I hear stories. Do you have stories that you share sometimes when you sit around the campfire or around coffee, around the kitchen table? I like it when I go to someone else's house sometimes and you hear some of those stories. Today's, we're looking in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And if I'm totally honest with you today, I feel like I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. I feel like in what God and how I'm sharing today was an exercise for me, which I think was good, but it's a little different than how I normally come and preach and prepare. So I hope it blesses you, and it's really meant to encourage you. We're looking in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and this passage of Scripture is one that the Jews would consider to be one of the most important texts in the Old Testament, verses 4 to 9. It's the Shema, verses 4 and 5, a prayer that they would say, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And you might remember in the New Testament, Jesus saying that this is the greatest commandment. I've always liked verse 7, especially when I found out we were expecting a child, expecting Emery. And today I want to take a moment to unpack it a little. I don't think this is a prescriptive passage, like this is your parenting tip for the day, like this is what you need to do in order to have good kids. But I think it is descriptive so that we can better understand what's going on. And I really hope it encourages you to live a little differently. And you might be thinking, Darren, well, I don't have children. I don't want to have children. Or are you pressuring me to have children, Darren? No, I'm not. But I really think this is good for all of us, no matter what stage of life we're at. I really think it takes a community to raise our kids. If you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It goes like this. You shall teach them, meaning children, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So what is it talking about? The passage before the Shema. It's also talking about this whole passage, I believe, in general, and passing on the laws. But there's four things that I wanted to highlight today. The word, teach them diligently. You shall talk when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way. Teach them diligently. It's one word. It's Shana. The meaning of this word I find very interesting. It's a verb meaning to wet. And I didn't know what wet means. Some of you might know this, but wet isn't just, it's not W-E-T, but W-H-E-T, to sharpen. Like, think of someone sharpening a sword. Teach them diligently. Someone sharpening a sword. If I was a warrior and I needed my sword, I just wouldn't show up with battle one day and pull it out and hope it's good. I often find it humorous in like Lord of the Rings, when they go to the battle room and there's like all these cobwebs and dust, and then they pull out these swords and they're just like shiny. You know what I mean? Like there's, everything is aged except the blades. They're totally fine. This word shana, here in the context, I'm taking this from my study notes, but it's an intensive form of the verb. It means to teach incisively. The idea here is that just as words are cut into stone tablet with a sharp object, so the law should be impressed on the hearts of children of every generation. Now, I think that could push a button for some of us. Impress on the hearts of our children. Some of us, I think, have grown up sitting through Sunday school or church, maybe have an experience where you're sitting there and you're just like, get me out of here. I don't think I'm making that up. I know for sure that there's been times for myself, why am I here? What's going on? I've seen my friends rebel just because it was opposite of what they were being taught. So what is God meaning to get at here? Also, I would like to know, maybe some of you as parents are, you might feel a little guilty. Like, I don't teach my kids the Bible. I don't read it. I don't have a plan for that. And you might feel a little guilty. Well, I'm not meaning for you to feel guilty, but if you do, just acknowledge it, repent, and it's not too late to get in the game. The next word, so you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them. The word talk here is a dabar, a verb meaning to speak. And there's a good example of this same word used in Exodus 6:29. It's when Moses is in Egypt and God told Moses to tell Pharaoh everything that he has said. I like that picture because I think we understand that story, and we sometimes relate to Moses as he has to go before Pharaoh, and he's wrestling, what do I say? And God just says, tell him everything that I've said. Parents, friends, when you have people around, young people around, do you share your faith? Do you talk about it? I find it interesting that God is asking us to teach diligently, but then also we're supposed to just talk about it. Do you see how these two things are kind of like bookends on a shelf? Some of us might lean more heavily on this side. Well, it's easy for me just to talk about it, you know? Like, yeah, I can share stories. Oh, when I was your age, I went to Sunday school. I remember this one Sunday school teacher I had. She was crazy, you know? Or some of us might be over here, and it's like, hey, guys, we're going to pull our Bibles. We're going to get the highlighters out. There's a couple things I want you to understand. Emery's looking at me pretty strictly right now. Back off. But we have these moments, right, where I find it that we should be on both ends of this. It's kind of like a tension. Grace and forgiveness is a tension, I think, sometimes. Love can be a tension. Tension is good because it's pulling you both ways. And sometimes we can't just figure it out and say, this is what you got to do. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house. The word for house here, ba-yeth, sorry, Donovan, if I'm messing this up, the words, but a verb meaning to speak, to say. Yeth, a noun meaning house, dwelling. It is in the building where the family lives. So it's not just like the word has just a meaning for a home, but it also has meaning for family, a dwelling place, being there. I find this to be kind of convincing, that we should be talking about our stories, our faith at home. Since the invention of the TV or screens, it's been easier to zone out, to check out. Sometimes I think even for dads, you can have a stressful job and you just need time in your hobby. in your quiet space in your room or in your garage, whatever that might be, or with a book. But I find it encouraging that God wants us to come together as a family and to talk about it. Talk about what God is doing in your life. Tell some stories about your faith. Tell about the highs and the lows. I think often as a child, especially when you're younger, you view your parents as someone, this is how they've always been. They have arrived. This has been their journey thus far. I know my kids love it when I tell them little stories about when I was a child, when I was their age. Tell stories about unanswered prayers or answered prayers. Tell them stories about victories of God working through your life. Tell them where you see God moving now. What are you asking God to do right now in your own life? So when you walk by the way, or when you lie down, or when you rise, walk by the way, the word for way is dachrek. Not Derek, but dachrek. So the word often means path that is traveled, a road. But it also has this figurative meaning where it can also mean the journey along the road. I found that very convicting when I read that, that can mean the journey along the road. Pastor Gary so often talks about how we are on this journey. And also at Youthquake this year, the speaker talked about how we look at our relationship with God as this ladder. And we're climbing on this ladder, doing these things, and we mess up and we sin. And I think we often, we feel like we fall off the ladder, and we have to get back up and start climbing again. And he said, he wanted to challenge us in that view. He said, think of it more as the journey along the road. That you're starting here and you're on this spot, wherever you are. And you turn to God and you say, yes, I want to follow you. And you're walking towards him. And you fall and you mess up. But you don't come back here to the beginning. You're where you are. Turn back to him and say, okay, God. And he helps you back up and you walk again with him. I like that it also says morning and night. At the beginning of the day and the end of the day. And I don't think it just means, I think it could be easy to say, you need to do this in the morning and the night. I mean, the Jewish people would say this prayer morning and evening, and they've been doing this for thousands of years. I think that's important to have discipline, spiritual discipline, in our own faith journey. But really what I hear is I think it needs to be daily. I think daily we need to be talking about our faith. And like I said before, I honestly don't think that this message is just for moms or dads, but for all of us. I really do think it takes a village to raise a child. I look at my own family. If it wasn't for many of you, we wouldn't get to sit here some Sundays. We would just be stuck in the nursery all the time. But thank you for those that come alongside us. For those that let my children run over and sit beside you. Enter into your family for a moment. I so appreciate that because usually I'm at the end of my rope and I don't know what to do. And so I'm like, go to them. Sorry, Avery. They often choose her. But we're all in this together. And in closing, I want to just read a passage, again from Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is later on, verse 20. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and the laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. But the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders. Guys, once you were lost, you had a time in your life before Christ. And how I mentioned before that our kids see us as having arrived and maybe always have been there. It's not the case. If I can encourage you, tell some stories. I'm often saying at youth group, ask your mom and dad, ask your mom and dad. And if ever they come and ask you a question, celebrate that. Celebrate it. Be excited. And if I'm truly honest, and if I think of my younger days as a child and a teenager, even probably as a young adult, I don't remember many complete sermons. Don't remember all the points. Probably none, if I'm really honest. I might remember some passages of scriptures that were taught. But I do remember some stories. People telling about their own faith journeys. Stories of prayers that they've been praying for a long time. Stories of prayers that were answered. Some of the stories might be silly, but some are stories of faith. And they're from my parents, my aunts and uncles, my Sunday school teachers, my youth group leaders, my aunts and uncles, and my grandma, and even some of my cousins and friends. I want to close on that because I want to encourage you, no matter where you are, share your stories. Share them with each other. It's easy to talk about the Raptors and their win, or the weather outside, or the situation at work. But we are more than that. We have a God that made everything, that one day is coming back. And this life that we're living now, this isn't the goal. The goal isn't just to build a good church or a good house or have a good family. The goal is to be ready for when Christ's return comes, that he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. The worship team can come back up.
Please stand with us for a closing song this morning.
You might be thinking, Darren, I don't have a big story, anything crazy. Neither do I. But I know this. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I couldn't see, but now I do. And I couldn't even hear things, but now I hear it differently. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And may you see how much love he has lavished on you, poured on you. And walk differently because of him. The good, good Father. Amen. Thanks for coming. And happy Father's Day.